Are you ready, Kim?
I am.
Okay, with that, then I'll call the meeting of the Planning Commission for Monday, August 22nd. Before, Kim, would you please call the roll?
Chairman Christensen?
Present.
Mr. Bold?
Present.
Mr. Dirksen?
Here.
Mr. Fisher?
Here.
Mr. Jensen?
Here.
Mr. Stanger?
Here.
And Mr. Tuttle?
Here.
Thank you, Kim. With nobody here tonight, we will go right past the comments from citizens and move on to approval of minutes. We have before you the minutes of Monday, July 25th for review and action. We had only four commissioners present at that meeting, so. Commissioner Stanger to accept minutes as presented.
I'd like to second that.
Seconded by Commissioner Bold. Commissioner Jensen?
I will be abstaining from vote because I was not here.
Okay.
Three of you weren't here.
Same for me?
Same for me.
Okay. Thank you, commissioners. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried 4-0. Next on the agenda tonight is the old business. We have the code amendment for downtown, and I'll let David Ozaki take us into this portion of the meeting.
All right, so the commission has been working on amendments primarily to the downtown commercial zoning district, and I wouldn't pay too much attention to what's in your packet, because there's really the version that's in your packet. I mean, you can pay attention to it, but it's been kind of a working copy as I've been going along, and at some point I need, there's probably about two or three things I want to talk about tonight to get some direction on, and then I'll clean the entire document up and make it look good. But I haven't even changed footnotes or anything like that until I'm sure things are relatively fixed in terms of what we want or what you want, then I'll make all the changes. And there's like two things I want to talk about, but a third issue came up today, so I want to talk about three things on downtown commercial. Later on in your agenda, there's just to kind of give you the scope of the entire agenda, there's some critical area code amendments. And really, that's more for information. I have a staff planner working on that. She'll come to your next meeting to give a little more detail on that. But I just want to put that in your packet. And then there's a variety of items we just kind of put on your desk, and I'll just kind of walk through those. All of those are for your information. So the key thing tonight, I think, is just the two or three things on the downtown commercial zone I'm going to bring up tonight. And I'm also just going to go out of a little bit of order and just let you know when Kim is here, because I'm sure that you all got the notice that Tina, to her credit, got a full-time position with the city building in their planning department. So the market is good for good quality people, and Tina was here part-time, and she got a full-time position at city building. This is great for her.
Good for her.
Yep.
The only bad part is we missed a meeting, so she wasn't able to say goodbye. But,
yeah,
right.
I told her you
know. Oh, you did, yeah. So three things I just want to talk about a little bit. One takes us back to an item that kind of was on the table when we first discussed all of this, but we never really got back to it. And that was, remember the gentleman who came triplex.
Yeah, I heard.
In the...
We'll never forget.
I think it's at the corner of Ferry and Fremont, the northwest corner. And he came to one of the first meetings this year, asking about kind of the status of the downtown code amendments. And the issue for him is, he would like to rebuild or redevelop that particular piece of property. But the requirement in the downtown commercial zone is that the ground floor has to be commercial.
Right.
And so, I know we've talked about it a couple times here and there, but I just want to make sure that we either make a change, as an example. This is one place where that requirement kicks in. So taking out the red, the code says ground floor, commercial uses shall be located on the ground floor. So that's basically what he's saying is keeping him from redeveloping the site because he wants to do residential. And so the question I just want to make sure about, this applies to historic Maine also, because this is specific to the historic Maine district. And so the issue is, do you want to retain the requirement for ground floor commercial in the entire historic Maine area, or do you want to do something, and I just threw out something like this, some numbers. Do you want to, like, allow some residential on the ground floor, but a certain percentage of the floor area, for example, has to be commercial?
I don't think that was something.
Commissioner Tuttle.
Thank you. I think what we were talking about was maintaining that requirement, but changing the area where that's required. That's what I remember several times, that discussion revolving around. And so having a conversation about what area that requirement should be in.
Okay.
That would be my preference, because I don't think that all of downtown could meet that qualification anyway, or meet that requirement anyway, even just how some of the buildings are built. Some of them are houses, you know. But on the area that we've been considering for overlay, we definitely wanted to keep that. But I did have a question about that building, and I wondered, did he own it when it burned, or did he buy it after it burned? Did he know that was the requirement when he bought it?
I think he bought it after it burned.
He didn't own it when it was
burned. Yeah, for sure, yeah.
So he knew that was going to be the requirement when he bought it?
I don't know if he knew that was going to be. I just don't know if that was
He probably just bought it.
Yeah, sorry.
Commissioner Stanger. Yeah.
I think he said, if I remember right, that he just bought it assuming he could just redo it the way
it
is.
Yeah.
He was surprised to find out that he couldn't put it back the way it was before.
I'm not opposed to pulling that requirement back into a smaller area, because I think that the intention of that requirement is to provide shopping and housing above and create a walking corridor. I don't know if it needs to extend that far over, and fitting in some of the uses that are already there. The school district office is there. There's some mechanical stuff there. There's some other businesses there. That's all.
My question, since I wasn't at that meeting, I don't have any clue what
that might have been during your surgery time.
When you say, you know, what area, are you talking about what area of town?
Yeah,
what area?
The area of downtown. The area of downtown, because he's on the corner of Ferry and Fremont.
Okay.
And so I know that I don't have that other map in front of me, but
I'll pull it up in a second.
We're kind of talking about what the downtown corridor, where that should be. Should it go all the way over into that area?
All right.
Because
I
envision that requirement being on those four blocks of the main street.
The promenade.
Yeah.
The overlay.
What would for me personally, that is what would develop into the overlay.
Okay.
I don't see a reason to have that requirement over there in that area, but that's just me.
Okay, I tend to agree. The other thing I remember we discussing was the access, if there was residences on the first floor. Remind me if I'm, tell me if I'm mistaken, Commissioner, but I recall something about not having access from the street, but from some other, if you had residents on the first floor, they'd be access from the back or from the side, but not from the, from the front of the building. I remember incorrectly.
Talked about, so we did talk about it.
Yeah, we did.
I thought we might have, so if there is residents on the, in the first floor or whatever, that they'd be accessed, not from the front, but from some other way.
Yeah, I think that what we're looking for is some direction to where do we want to keep that requirement, is that right? That's kind of what you're looking for?
Right. So clearly on the promenade.
I would tend to lift that requirement from the other areas outside of the promenade.
I agree.
Right, so you can either lift it, or another option is you require a certain percentage of that ground floor to be commercial. So those are just some choices.
Commissioner Stanger?
Yeah, I don't think that would work for this gentleman. And I don't know either, I mean, just having a certain percentage be commercial, I think that he wants to make it all residential.
And I don't want to do it just for one person, but I'm thinking there's probably other...
In that whole area, yes. It doesn't seem to make sense to have any commercial, personally. It doesn't
to force it.
To force it.
Because it's a mixed-use area for a reason. You want some housing, some high-density housing and some business.
So I would lean toward what you're talking about as well. Not to force it in that area, the overlay area, I think we do need to force it.
So Dave's saying there's two options, and that's to lift that requirement there, or what was the other thing?
Percentage. Well, it's three options. One is keep, I mean, I'm just putting out all the options. One is keep it commercial as is. Second is require that a proportion of the ground floor be commercial, whatever you want as a proportion. And then third would be just remove it altogether.
Commissioner Dirksen.
I tend to agree with Commissioner Tuttle. I think that we need to keep the overlay and keep that. We have a strict idea of what we want there, but when we get outside of that area, because it is mixed use, I think it should be lifted. That's the direction I would be going.
No percentage.
I don't think the percentage would actually work for him.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to make sure we understand.
So I think it would be an option if they wanted to do that, but I think that part away from the promenade and the overlay, I think, should be lifted. Okay. So they can make it all residential if they want to.
I think we have to understand that, you know, clearly, you know, that does extend not just to his building, but to other areas.
Right, I think that's...
And what ramifications that might...
Right.
So you should make sure we're careful about it. Commissioner Jensen.
Okay, so what we're talking about is for the promenade section, the overlay, we would keep this as it was originally written, full ground floor
commercial.
Okay.
And in a new subsection that would probably be created in this document for these other sections, it would not be there as a requirement.
Okay.
Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
That's what we're telling, like, what we're kind of leaning to here. My one caveat I would throw out there is, because we haven't, I don't think we reached this part of the discussion yet, but there's potentially, I think at one point we were going to talk about potentially allowing higher building heights in certain parts of downtown, mm-hmm. perhaps to encourage more residences, more density.
Mm-hmm.
The one thought I would have was if someone in the east downtown, that's the new name for it,
right.
In east downtown, if the space allowed for a five-story building, for example, when you start having that kind of height, even though it's not in that promenade section, would there be a desire to say, if you're going to get that many residences in your building, would there be a desire to require some percentage of retail in the bottom, just because of the fact that it's such a high building? And maybe have some requirement based
on...
In a certain height. If you're taking advantage of extra height, you do so by having retail on the bottom. Otherwise, it can just be all residences for the first three floors, for example, in his case, or something like that.
Okay. Any other comments? My comment to that would, you stop thinking about it, because that's what I was trying to emphasize a little bit earlier. Now it's not just a commercial building anymore. It's an apartment building.
Right.
If that's the case, if all floors are now residence, so it's now an apartment building. If somebody came along and bought that building and then wanted to convert part of that building or whatever to commercial, would there be any issues?
The first issue is going to be the first floor is not going to be high enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these are things that I think we need to be careful when we go that route. So.
Perhaps along that thinking, maybe we mandate that the first floor stay that mixed-use height, which was 15 feet, but allow them to put residents in there under these conditions. But in the future, it's easy if they need to kick someone out and turn it into retail. The rest of the structure is designed for that.
Yeah. I'm not sure how to proceed with that. Director Ozaki, do you have any input for us on that? I know you've probably been in this situation before. Do you have any ideas what would be a good route to go?
So the Planning Commission could, basically have uniform standards for building in a commercial area and then make exceptions for occupancy then? Is that what you're saying?
You could.
Okay. So that would sounds ideal.
Yeah,
it does.
It does.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And we'll just see what type of reaction there is to anyone who says, I can't do ground floor residential with 15 feet ceiling. I don't see what you could.
No, because it's just a vaulted ceiling.
Yeah, it's kind of the style nowadays.
Yeah.
It actually
may actually discourage multifamily on the ground floor, but that may not be the worst thing. But at least preserves that first floor for conversion to like a commercial use.
Could we, excuse?
Yeah.
I'm just got one more question.
I just
want to
make sure you see me.
No, I saw you. The older I get, the more you have to get my attention. The only question I have to make then is there some way we could say, well, that would be the last floor you make residential? All the other floors have to be filled first before you make the first floor residential? Would that make sense?
I suspect they want a predictable outcome at the start. As they're building this, I would think. If they're investing their money, they're going to want to be able to say, I know I'm going to get this out of it.
Yeah.
And if no one wants to open a business there, then they're stuck with an empty floor.
Yeah, we have that all over town. Okay, I was just, my only question.
Mine is just, if we lift that, does that allow for houses for single-family residents at all to be built there? Because we don't want to start having houses again when we're trying to push that out of that area.
I think right now in historic Maine, homes, single-family homes are conditional use, and I don't know.
What about all of downtown? Or I guess not the orange. Or
that paragraph he was looking at is under this clause for historic Maine and East downtown neighborhoods.
Actually, the way that this is written now, you can't do a single family use in the historic Maine.
Okay, I just kind of want to see a little house get built there.
Could you repeat what you just said?
Right now, current code, not these amendments, someone can build a single family home in the historic Maine, getting a conditional use permit. And the proposed changes eliminate the opportunity to build a single-family home in the historic Maine.
In the proposed changes, then.
Right.
The way it stands today, they could do it. Okay.
Conditional.
Conditional, yeah. Right. Thank you.
I would personally want to make sure that no one's taking up that real estate with one house there in that area.
Yeah, agreed. I'm trying to keep my eyes open.
Now, if it's multifamily, could someone still try to do a single family like townhouses instead of multi-floor building or something?
Well, the way that's proposed, that's an interesting question. The way it's proposed, the way I would interpret this code, the way it's written right now, is for the gentleman, we need to get a conditional use permit to do what he wants to do, to build a townhouse or multifamily by itself. That's proposed. But the way I would interpret this is if he wanted to do mixed use, he could do it as a permitted use. So there's an incentive actually to do mixed use.
Right.
And it could be all residential, even though it's mixed use.
No, if it's all residential, then it's like multifamily at that point. And he has to go through a conditional use permit.
Okay. But he could still do that.
He could do that.
Today.
The problem is today, it's in historic Maine.
Yeah.
He has to do mixed use.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
And he can do that.
Yeah.
But he chooses not to. Right now, he can. So the ground floor, I don't get the right column. Ground floor has to be commercial in historic Maine, which is where it is.
On this chapter 18, what is the goal? Time frame to get this finalized. What is the
well, the great thing, for better or for worse, is actually three weeks before your next meeting, and that gives me a lot of time just to clean this all up.
Okay.
I'm actually gonna probably have to retype on most of this, because I got track changes on top of track changes, and it's just hard to work with. So I just need to go in there and like clean everything up into one version. And then you can all take a look at it.
Okay.
And then if you're comfortable with it, we can do the environmental review and then schedule a hearing.
Okay.
It'll be the fall.
All right.
But I do have one more thing to talk about, two more items to talk about, if we're done with that.
Are we done?
Commissioners, we're done with that?
I had one question. Which was, I was just looking at this new thing and I can't remember.
in our nice little grid, five columns now, accessory dwelling units. Does that need to be permitted to allow mixed use?
No.
Okay.
No, it's something a little different.
Okay, then. No issues, no questions.
Actually, I was looking at that. There are issues there. But they're unrelated to that, so I'm going to clean that up when I get to it.
Okay.
So let me pick on item two. Actually, item number three is what Commissioner Jensen brought up, so I'll get back to that. Item number two just kind of came up today, so I'm just going to float this out there. And I have no preference one way or the other here. And this has to deal with the rails and roads neighborhood, which is purple. So it's basically and I do remember that, just FYI, I remember the part about making that map change.
Yeah.
But rails and roads is generally that part of downtown, north of the railroad tracks and south of US 2. And if we go to the use table, I just want to show you a couple of items real quick. So rails and roads is the second column with the letters. And so you can see auto repair, minor, and auto repair, major are permitted uses. Major and minor is just distinguished by the size of the vehicles being repaired. And this designation also allows right now, it allows gas stations. Now, as proposed, it would not allow gas stations.
Which would keep someone from putting a gas station at Dell's.
Right.
Yeah.
So the other gas stations are outside the zone, so they're not affected.
Right. On the highway, too.
Down the highway. Side. They're facing highway, too.
So, speaking of that property,
there's an offer for
there's a proposed use. That sells motorsports.
Sells what?
Motorsports, like motorcycles, all-terrain vehicles. Yeah. And if you look at the definition of, well, there's nothing in this table in the downtown that says motor sales is allowed, which makes sense, because typically you wouldn't want
car sales.
Cars there, or you wouldn't want the type of uses that take up a lot of land area.
Does it just allow auto sales?
Right, you cannot do auto sales anywhere in the downtown. And so if you look at the code, what's the definition of motor sales or motor vehicle sales?
Would it be recreational? Instead of motor vehicle, would it be more recreational?
It's not really in there. You're not going to find motor vehicle sales because it's not allowed. But exactly what you're talking about. We're not talking recreational vehicles or trailers. We're talking
right. We're talking about the motorcycles, the ATVs, yeah, those types of things.
So we go to the definition in the code about what a motor vehicle is, sales is.
Would that be?
This applies in the entire code. Motor vehicle sales facility means any area of land, including structures, used to display, sale, rental, leasing of motor vehicles, motorized vehicles, including but not limited to automobiles, RVs, boats, and then it says motorsports.
Motorsports.
So, first of all, the use is not even allowed downtown. And, you know, if you wanted to try and interpret your way well as a snowmobile, a vehicle, well, it's pretty hard to say a snowmobile isn't part of a motor vehicle sales facility definition because it's really spelled out. So kind of the issue is, is that type of use appropriate for the rails and roads? Not car sales, not RV sales, not trailer sales, but a use that would specifically sell snowmobiles, motorcycles, all-terrain vehicles. I'm just asking.
Commissioner Bowe?
Where's Town and Country? Are they in Rails and Roads? The tractor sales?
No.
No, they're outside of...
They're in the east...
Aren't they in East Portland?
Yeah.
East downtown is what they are now.
But there is the Subaru lot. There's cars getting sold there.
Right, and that'd be non-conforming.
Yeah. Where is that on this map?
It's kind of...
It's right across from Candida's.
Commissioner Tuttle?
Thank you. Well, my initial thought is no, that as far as the rules go, that's not appropriate use there. However, the counterpoint to that for me is that area is so congested that I don't think, unless we do some kind of crazy traffic revisions, I don't think you can, that spot could handle any sort of dense, high visit number of cars coming in and out of there. Sorry for the fractured sentence there, but it might be the kind of thing that actually is best in that one particular area because of the traffic flow and the access. It doesn't seem like that's the kind of business that has a high number of trips in a day. I don't know, but something more than that could really cause some traffic problems there. If, you know, even a little retail shopping center, or, you know, I know some people were talking about trying to do a farmer's market indoor type of thing there. I don't know, it's just such a bad, all the driveways and all the streets and then the barrier in the road, and then you have everybody hanging out in the street to go to Darcy's, and it might not be bad to kind of put a low traffic business there. So, on two sides to the discussion for as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. That's a really good point. The other thing to think about too is it's probably not just sales but service.
Yes.
Which brings in more traffic types of things, and you have to have places to put all of the vehicles that are waiting for service. Mm-hmm. And that type of thing. So that's another...
It does butt up to Les Schwab and Sky Valley Towing. It doesn't seem like a inappropriate match there necessarily, but I don't know.
Right. Now keep in mind...
You can get in and out on Highway 2. Driving around.
If you change the code, it could go in by any property in that road area.
Right.
But, and I don't know if I...
Well, unless you made it conditional for recreational vehicles or some sort of...
Sports.
Can only have two wheels or three wheels or something. I don't know.
Well, you could break it out. I mean, you could get it specific and say just motorsports, but not other, not RVs, not trailers, not a regular car.
Could you like a weight limit?
A vehicle weight limit?
I'm not saying I think it's a good idea. I'm just saying I see two options there.
It's always been an awkward place to get in.
Do some research.
I mean, that sounds like an easier line to draw than trying to define every kind of vehicle.
If we want to draw that line. I don't know that we do. Those are initially kind of what popped into my head, is the idea of something very busy there seems like a bad idea because it's just such a mess. And when the train comes through, it's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's another...
At some point, someone's going to want to put something.
Yeah. Okay. Commissioner Dirksen?
My first gut reaction is great. We're finally getting someplace to somebody come in and rent, so it's not something else that is just sitting empty. And I guess if I would agree with Commissioner Tuttle, we don't want something in that little area that is going to be lots of visits in and out. When I've been at different places with motorcycles with Lynn, it's not that busy. Even though they do repair, it's very low key. So for me, that might be one of the answers for that piece of property. And yeah, it would just have to be the smaller motor sports type thing. So I think it's a good idea. We finally rent something. You know, it's not another piece of property. It's just sitting empty. Taxes coming in.
Yeah.
That's my point.
That's a good point. The other motorsports place over on 147th, over in the industrial park. Mm-hmm. I've been in there several times, and I've never seen it overwhelmed with traffic.
I think it's a specialty kind of thing.
Yeah. So
I don't
think that would be too much of a problem. It's just that area right there, because of the way it's laid out and the dividers in the road and all that, can be troublesome to get in and out.
Right. Actually, there's no divider that close to the railroad tracks. The divider's up towards Highway 2.
But it's still right.
You can't see that.
The only thing I'm worried about is someone pulling a trailer
crossing,
coming north.
Well, they're already doing that.
Crossing the north, cross the railroad tracks, and they can't turn.
And he had that problem with farmers and trailers and stuff like that.
So, with Dells.
So, yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing something like that there, but if it can be handled correctly, and safely.
I think that is the right zone area to.
Yeah, I wouldn't want. I wouldn't want to see it.
Area.
I wouldn't want to see it anywhere else downtown.
Right.
Industrial park or
not even east downtown. I don't think I'd want it in east downtown.
No, we got enough industrial in east downtown already.
Yeah.
Well, it's retail, isn't it?
That's retail.
Mm-hmm. And have a showroom and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most do.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as noise, it's right next to railroad tracks, so that doesn't make any issues.
Well, it's right by Les Schwab and.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
There's tow trucks in and out of there.
Yeah, I think it would be.
There is access off of Highway 2 if you go into Buzz Inn and drive.
My only concern is, you brought up originally, is the traffic in and out. You know, how much of an issue that could be and how it's handled. If it's handled correctly, I'd love to see it.
Well, right now it's available for any kind of retail.
Yeah.
So we could get something that is way busier.
True. Mm-hmm. True. That's true.
It goes with our slogan.
Adventure.
Adventure. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
We change it to buy me adventure here.
There you go. Yeah. And take it with you.
I like the idea of that type of business too, because we were just talking about that for the East area, or maybe it was in a different committee, but. Kayak and fishing supplies and things like that, things that are activity-based.
Yeah.
So the more I think about it, the more I think it's probably a really good use there.
So does that help you, Director?
No, that's fine. That's perfect. That'll be easy to put into the next draft. Real easy.
And I wouldn't do it based off of wheel count, because there are four wheel little buggy or whatever's. So I wouldn't count by wheels. I was thinking by weight, maybe, or size.
Yeah.
If you wanted to.
Or just definition, if it's a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So then that's two.
Number three.
I'm good. Three.
And third, I bet, is building height.
Yeah.
I bet.
As you know.
It's on here somewhere.
Oh, okay. So, and building height, I mean, you can talk about building height across all four neighborhoods, but specifically building height, what is now the residential neighborhood, and then building height, what is now East Downtown, formerly Borland Park. And the only reason I'm highlighting those is that, and this isn't in your version, these are more notes to myself. I want to go back to this policy in the comprehensive plan that says allow increased building heights and density within the downtown and Al Borland neighborhoods. The downtown neighborhood being the residential. Now, I wouldn't say this commits us to having to do this, but I at least want to revisit this again, only because it has that policy. And this table is broken by a page break, otherwise I'd fix it. But downtown commercial, this first column is the residential neighborhood, maximum height 35 feet. And then the maximum height in the east downtown where the Horton Park is 35 feet also, except that you can go as high as 55 feet if you do a mixed-use building. So that's the current height requirement. And then the density, and this is one thing I want to fix, because you got to go way back to another section of this whole thing to get the densities, but the density in the downtown residential, the density requirement is up to 11 units per acre. And in the East Monroe or downtown, East Downtown, the density is 20 units per acre. Which is quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you have any thoughts on this right now or what I can do to bring information back to help you kind of decide whether or not you want to change either the density or the height in those two districts.
I would love to change both. But
I was going
to
say, that's kind of your pet.
It's just, I feel like the more residents you get down there, the more support you have for downtown business. And I'm phrasing that probably all wrong, but maybe the right way to say it is that prospective business owners, if they can look at their demographics and say, oh, there's a higher density population, the more population close by would be more encouraging for new business downtown.
Yeah. It is true.
And so by increasing that population density would help downtown. It might take, you know, probably take years, but
yeah. Commissioner Dirksen?
Are we restricted at all by in the downtown area by the airport? Is that part of that fly?
That's a great question. I don't think so.
No.
I don't think it's going to be.
I don't think it reaches downtown at all.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay. It affects that west area of town.
Yeah. It really comes into play if you're really near the airport on the sides, or especially if you're like.
Okay, in the front.
I just wanted to double check.
Yeah. That's a good question.
Because originally all of our maps had all this fly
overlay
that you couldn't do a certain height or something. So,
I have a question as far as when we start talking about building heights, where does design come into play when we start talking about building heights? Because I keep going back to that idea of when we did West Main. And we talked about restricting, you could go five stories, but we wanted the top story to be back off, you know, where you had a setback for the highest part of the building, so you get, it looks nicer. You know, you don't have one big tall square or rectangular building. You get a nice detail to it if the top floor was set back off the street. Then you could have gardens up there and stuff like that. So that was part of the design portion of it. So to me, when you're talking about building heights, I think that's got to be taken into account somehow.
Yeah, for sure. Do we have anything that says what the design should be for the downtown area? Is that anywhere in there?
We haven't gotten to that part. I don't believe.
Well, we actually have design standards for historic Main and Borland Park.
We do?
And I need to go look and see what they say about stepping back or doing any of that. Because they tend to be more in terms of materials, signage, first floor transparency of windows. And I don't know whether or not they really envisioned a tall structure going in.
I know when we did West Main, we tried to take that into account on downtown too, and I don't know if it ever got to that or not, but I know it is on West Main that they have that design.
Right.
Plus it looks nice.
Yeah, it does look nice. Commissioner Dixon?
No, nothing else. I just remember that we did talk about
Commissioner Bolt, did you have
I would just like to ask a question of David about maturity level of our city. Is it a place where we would need to have more than three stories, or is it a proactive thing, or is the commission supposed to be proactive in that we build it and developers will come, or are we supposed to be kind of, you know, 5 years ahead of schedule where, because I don't see, in the next 10 years, I'm having trouble envisioning developers coming in here, because Commissioner Jensen was talking about retail, first floor, four stories of apartments, like Violet Terrace is doing now on some of their busier streets. They've got a block, an apartment, you know, it's retail or commercial, what first story, three or four stories of apartments, but I don't see this city at that maturity level where we could support enough businesses and have enough residence units.
Buy a five-story building right now? You can be right.
Yeah, so I was just wondering what the timing, I mean, should we plan for that right now where we're going to need to approve a five-story building, or should we wait 5 years until developers might be coming to us in the next 5 years? You know, I think it's 10 years out before we need a five-story building here.
Right, and then the comp plan is a 20-year plan, so there's nothing saying you have to do this right away. If you don't think the time is right, it's good to have it in place ahead of time.
Allowable, not required.
Yeah, but you know, I can sit here, listen to the discussion, and the more times I've been driving around downtown, I don't know what the... I can kind of see the driving force behind Borough Park. Because I can kind of see you putting something, ideally the thought was something to go along the river.
That's close
to the river. You might want to take advantage of some views.
Right.
You might drive some more height in that area.
Right.
But I'm trying to figure out if you really want to go more than 35 feet in the residential area, the residential neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I was asking that because I just...
Yeah.
But...
So currently in the historic main, if they do mixed use, what is their height? Is it 55?
55. Yeah, and this policy, and part of it was I wasn't here. Wow. Oh, I did that. I wasn't here when the comp plan was being discussed early on. So I don't know why the downtown neighborhood in Melbourne Park kind of diverged from this policy.
I think just they kind of had residents already.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see someone trying to do like maybe four-story apartments in Borough Park.
Right.
I can kind of see that not being mixed use in one building.
I mean, that would be the appropriate area to do it.
Because on the edge, not in the middle.
Right.
But I don't know about the residential downtown neighborhood.
Yeah.
It seems so narrow and tight that if you want to go more than 35 feet in height, you're going to be right up on somebody.
Right.
I don't know if it's, yeah, I don't know if developers, or if we want to call them investors even, if they go out looking for things that they have to do a lot of work to do, or if they go out and look and say, oh, we can do this, and they'll work within that frame. I'm not sure how they think. So... if this is something we allow, as you say, it might be 10 years before we're ready for that, but if in 10 years we are ready, it might be good to already have it in place.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, when a building burns down, I wonder if the people, now granted they're in a different zone, but if they have the opportunity to add another floor or two, might they be even more open to the, you know, retail on the bottom and not have come to bug us about, you know, changing that. I don't know. I just feel like if we open it up a little bit more and just see what the market does. If we're not ready, nobody's going to come in here and build it because we're not ready for it.
Yeah.
But if we are and we don't know it, the developers will let us know because they'll come in and start building.
Exactly. That's what I was talking to David about. Has anybody come to him and said, I need additional height. I just can't get enough units to make this thing cash flow.
Mm.
See, that's... Because we do...
Would they come and ask? us, or would they just look at the code and say, oh, can't be done, and walk away?
No, they definitely ask.
They would ask.
We deal with a lot of developers in Seattle, and you know they're adding additional units, or they can add an additional story, but it's got to make sense. It's got to, the investment has to pay off with additional rents. And so it's got to, you know, we're trying to achieve basically 95 to 100% occupancy, and at a rent high enough that they can, you know, make it cash flow.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, you have to have a pretty dense development, and it's got to be a high enough rent to pay for the building, or they'll go elsewhere. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the rents aren't high enough because it costs, you know, the costs aren't that much different to build it, other than the land, but the actual, you know, lumber or concrete, whatever, about the same cost to build Seattle and here. So the rents have to be significantly, you know.
You have a cost per square foot, and you got to pay for it. So, yeah. You know, you were talking about earlier, I'm sorry, were you?
Yeah, that's fine.
You were talking about earlier, you know, the chicken and the egg type of effect. In my mind, is you have the people looking for business or business looking for people. So I think what do you want first? You have the businesses down there first, and it'll draw people to want to live downtown. Or do you have the people downtown looking for businesses to go to? So in my head, which is everybody knows it's a strange place, but in my head, I would think that if you had the businesses downtown, then you might want to have that ability to draw people and say, you know, this is really nice downtown, and you know, restaurants are close, and stores are close, and all that stuff. I would like to live down here. When I get up in the morning, I just go downstairs, have coffee, blah, blah, blah. So I think you have to have the business there to draw people, rather than having the people trying to attract businesses. I think you have to have the businesses first. So I think that should be the attraction, is trying to get, you know, the downstairs first floor buildings filled up with business, and people will want to live down there. That's my thoughts.
Thank you. But if there was a developer that came down and said, I think this is a worthwhile place, I've done the numbers, and this is what I wanted to do here, I think we should set it up so it's allowable. Just probably not required.
Absolutely. You have to have the plan in place well ahead of time so that.
But no, I don't think it's. I don't think we could support that kind of thing right now, for sure.
No. I Commissioner Bull is totally correct. And
but how tall are the, is it three stories on the housing home buildings that are on West Main, or two?
I think there are three.
Three at least.
Three, yeah.
Four? You think they're four? Maybe.
Yeah.
The
ones down by.
Down at the way west end.
They're
sort of stacked. Yeah, it's right by a tower.
So what height are they? If there's parking below and three floors, what kind of height would you be talking about?
Shoot.
They seem tall.
45 feet.
It feels tall there.
Yeah.
It feels like a tall building when you drive by. And the trees there are nice because it kind of scales it a little bit. But
So basically, like the 35 feet we're talking that's in downtown now, that's 15 on the first floor and then 10 for each additional floor for 35.
Yeah.
I get nervous about the apartment building thing because of the place that was by Thrive.
That was scary.
Yeah,
and even Morning Room isn't very well kept. And sometimes when you get too many people in one space, it gets run down really fast.
Right.
Too. So definitely.
Of course, if they have retail, they probably can't let it get run down too much, and they'll probably have a hard time.
Maybe, but look at Main Street right now.
Oh, yeah.
Those driveway building is...
They could build it for retail and not sell anything, and then just have the apartments. You make it.
Yeah, and I guess that stuff about maintenance is probably code enforcement and things that we need to be better about, too.
I think if you get businesses down there that are thriving, then the buildings, you know, are being kept up, and then, you know, you get the right people down there. And I think it has to work that way. Otherwise, it's going to stay the way it is. We need some thriving businesses. And not gyms or dojos or whatever they're called.
I did see the other day, though, that the little restaurant with the hitching post, they moved out onto the sidewalk. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah,
that was very
interesting. I think that was part of the design of the new street.
Right, right. But I mean, that, you know,
the businesses to do that.
Yeah, so do that.
Dr. Johnson is moving. So that opens up that takes a professional space out of there.
That was really nice.
Okay. Any further discussion, David?
David, did you get to direction or?
Well, no, I didn't quite get to direction.
Yeah, I didn't get it either.
Okay. So what,
Commissioner Jensen?
So, in the downtown, in the residential part, the density was, did you say 11?
Up to 11.
Up to 11, and the east downtown is up to 20 per acre. How, for a typical two-bedroom sized apartments, how high of a building do you need to get 20 units per acre, or do you need a height of a building height? Or, I mean, can you do that all on ground floor? I mean, is part of what's blocking people from even asking for a higher building that density limitation?
20 units per acre.
So what's the proportion of parking necessary? Is it, so acres 44,000 square feet, would half of that, would 20,000 have to be parking, and 20,000 is dwelling?
Yeah.
And so if we split it up as, it would be a big apartment of 2,000 square feet.
Yeah, that's big.
That would,
it's bigger than my house.
Yeah, that's a big apartment.
Okay. When you say it, you know, I mean, that would be a maximum.
I think most apartments would be about 800 to 1,200, yeah.
Yeah, 1,200 square feet. That's two bedrooms.
Yeah, all hallways and elevators and stairs.
20's pretty dense. I don't know. Was there a discussion on this?
So that would be like a two-story
apartment process. Right? Yeah. About two.
Six units.
Maybe three.
But then you have to have the retail down, so you'd have three stories.
Six
right
units
there.
Per floor, three floors, yeah.
Well, it would have to be not in the downtown, east downtown.
Oh, right.
We might bump it up to 24 or something like that, but...
plus a penthouse.
You know, let's just hold that thought, because let me get a few complexes in town. Let me figure out what the height is for the Monroe Family Village, number units, and the density.
Is it feasible for them to put parking underground, or is the water table too high to do that, stuff like that?
Best thing for that area that would be to have a lot of people coming and going and living outside and going to the park. Mm-hmm. be the best thing that could happen over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some other good examples. That you're familiar with.
In here in town, or?
In town.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I mean, we have the multifamily over by, across from the hospital, on the other side of 179. Those guys have been there for a long time. I think they're only two-story apartments.
Yeah, Housing Hope has taken over them.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be something that's kind of like tight in a confined area, like in a family village, because that's probably what you would get downtown. All right, let me find some examples.
Okay.
If you go to corner of 164th and Hollywood Mall Parkway, that's where they're building the four-story dense apartment buildings. Where they pulled out Glenn's Welding and put all the apartments in there.
Okay. See, down the street on my block, they're building like 43 units on 8,000 square feet.
Wow.
Holy cow. Micros?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No parking.
And they have to be, now they bumped it up to a minimum of like 300 square feet, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's like 200 units per acre.
Yeah, if you have enough business in the area, you don't need parking, people don't need to drive. Yeah. Walk to all the way.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So at least on the three items I was looking for, I got them I needed.
Okay.
Kind of. I got you guys some more information on that. The last set, the last one.
Okay. And are we done then with the old business for tonight?
I am.
Okay. Commissioners, any other comments, discussion on old business? All right, then we'll move to new business, critical area code amendment.
Actually, I just put this in your packet as an information item. One of the items that we're working on are amendments to what's called the critical areas ordinance. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I put it on the agenda tonight is some of you may not be familiar with what a critical areas ordinance is. So under the Growth Management Act, every city or town or county in the state of Washington has to have what's called a critical areas ordinance. And what critical areas are natural features like wetlands, streams, fish and wildlife habitat, steep slopes. So it's basically that part of your code that talks about how you're going to protect the natural environment and these particular types of natural features, again, wetlands, streams. And certainly throughout Monroe, we have wetlands, isolated wetlands throughout the entire city. We have some areas that are steep slopes. Floodplain also is addressed with the critical areas ordinance. So there are just some places in this code where we're just kind of stumbling on ourselves. I mean, they're not really significant changes, but I'm not sure. This is goes back to what I've always said, that when you write code, try to put yourself in the position of being someone else reading it 10 years later. And for the life of me, there's some sections in here I don't understand. No, I understand it. I understand what it should say, but I don't understand why it says what it says. I can't tell if it's deliberate or just someone got caught up and they were writing the code. So there's a couple of those particular sections in here. And then I think the last time this code was updated was, I'm guessing almost over 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and that's been a long time. So yeah. This code is supposed to be referencing, or should be referencing, some of the newer manuals that are the basis for evaluating critical areas, so it does some of that as well. So anyway, we hired a new senior planner. She started around mid-July, early July, and she had been working on this. And so I will have her at our next meeting to just kind of go through this in a little more detail. But for now, this is just strike through an underline so you can kind of see where the changes are.
Excellent. That'd be great to meet her. Yeah.
So that's it on that.
Is there any particular area I missed that was some part of this document where you're having most problems with, or is it just the whole thing, or any parts that we should put more effort in?
No.
No? Okay.
Some of these suggestions are from the Department of Ecology also. We asked them to look at our code, and they've made some changes and recommendations as okay. well. So that's an agency recommendations.
The red and the strikeout.
Yeah. Some of the red and strikeout. I mean, all the changes, any change in here is in red and strikeout.
Yeah.
So that's a great thing. You can tell the changes that are being made. Some are more detailed than others. Some just try to put it this way, but just try to get this code more up to date.
Is there a map that goes with this?
There actually is, but it's not part of the code. We have a critical areas inventory that was done about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and it's a general idea of where these critical areas are throughout the city. So that anytime there's a development proposal that's close to one of those areas or has a property that's in one of those areas, we'll ask for a spent critical area study, and it's based on this ordinance.
Okay.
But the problem, well, not a problem, you're only seeing the sections we're proposing to amend. So if you actually go to the municipal code and look at the critical areas ordinance, it's probably about that thick. But we're only amending some of the sections
gotcha.
That we need to get fixed.
Gotcha. And is that map available online?
It's available online, but let's put it in your packet in the next meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, the link's in the packet. So that's all I had to say on that.
Okay. Any questions, comments, commissioners? Right. Then we move on to discussion by commissioners and staff. David?
So a few things I just want to go through. Some of these, let's see, there were several documents on your desk. Let me start with this printout of a PowerPoint presentation.
Yep.
Those of you who are on the commission, this was Joe Tobar's presentation from last February and March when he came to the commission, so you've already seen it. I put it on your giving to the planning commission for a couple of reasons. One is we have a new planning commissioner, and you weren't at the meeting, and this was a presentation on kind of the planning process, and so just it's worth scanning, just kind of taking a look at it. The relationship between council, staff, and the planning commission. There's some good information in there, but I also just brought this up again because at the last meeting, Commissioner Tuttle talked about training on the development review process, and so I'm going to organize at some point this year for staff to come in and talk about development review and kind of how codes translate into a permit application. But what Joe Tovar did in pages aren't numbered, but near about the last three or four pages, he starts talking about site plans, grading utility plans, landscape plans, stormwater management plans. So what Joe did in his presentation was try to talk about how the codes and policies that the council and the planning commission work on ultimately translate into how they get applied to development during the development review process. So that's kind of a high-level PowerPoint slide that Joe gave, and then
good stuff.
What we'll work on later on is more of a presentation for the Planning Commission about development review and just follow up on this kind of that concept. So that's why that was just FYI for you. Second item, I had mentioned, I think, at the last meeting that we received notice from the State of Washington Liquor and Cannabis Board that the state was contemplating issuing a state license to a marijuana retail business here in the city. And under state law, we as a local jurisdiction get notified and have 20 days to comment on the possibility that the state will issue a state license to any type of marijuana business, so it's retail production or processing. In this case, there was a proposal to locate your retail business on State Route 2. We as a city got notification that the state was considering issuing a state license to that business. We had 20 days to respond, and so this was our response letter back to the state. One of the reasons I'm putting this in your packet, reason I put this in the packet was somewhat as an FYI, but also because you can see that some of our argument back to the city goes, or back to the state, talks about our zoning regulations and how we treat marijuana-related businesses. And we also cited, for example, the comprehensive plan and plan policies and the importance of those policies and why we as a city objected to the state's issuing of that license. Now, in the end, the state has certain rules that they have to follow, one of them being they cannot issue a state license within 1,000 feet of certain types of land uses. And one of those land uses is a daycare. And the response back from the state when we sent this letter was they had a mapping error. And there was actually a daycare that we pointed out that was located closer than 1,000 feet to this proposed business. And so the state said, well, we can't issue this license because it would violate their own rules. So that's where that all ended up. But I just wanted to make you apprised of how zoning and how the plan policies get applied to an item like that. And then the final item, I want to just point out that was on, you got a lot of paper to take home with you, put it in your recycle bin. One of the items our new planner was working on, she's really well versed in geographic information systems and mapping. So on your dais is a map, 11 by 17 map. I would say it's still somewhat in draft form a little bit because we're kind of fine tuning this. But this one focuses specifically on plats, which is a division of land into smaller lots. And we divided, just to kind of give you a sense of development activity going on in the city, we divided this into final plats, which is purple. Final plat means it's gone to the city council, and the city council says, okay, these lots are created, so they can get built on right now. And so since September 2014, which is within the last year and a half, 2 years or so, there have been four final plats. So it's, those lots are created and they're getting built on right now. Eaglemont 1 is like all built out. Columbia Crossing is all built out. Those plats got approved and they got built on very, very rapidly and quickly right now. Evergreen Heights is the quadrant plat. It's about 70 lots. That just got final plat approval recently. And that's in kind of the northwest corner of the city in purple. And then the ones in red, just to kind of give you an idea of how much the staff right now is working on processing development applications. The one in red are development applications that have been submitted to the city and we're still processing them. And that's like 9 of them. That's a lot. That's a lot. And you can see where they all are almost, kind of all up in that north area of the city. So there is a lot of development activity taking place near the north city limits.
Oh, is the nursery going to go away on Curry Road?
And then there's another group of lots, so another group of applications where we've actually met with the developer or the applicant, but they haven't submitted their application yet. Those are in yellow. We anticipate those to come in fairly quickly if they haven't already. And this, some of the plots are kind of like moving between categories so quickly that like every week or 2 weeks this changes. But you can see that there's some large pieces of property at the north city limits, and those are the ones in yellow that we've been talking to developers, and we expect all of those yellow parcels to be in play very quickly about in terms of an application coming in the door for us to begin processing that. So if you add up all of these plats, the purple, the red, and the yellow, my guess is you're probably pushing about 800 to 1,000 lots, which is quite a bit.
Is this map online at all?
No, we're still playing with this. I should have stamped draft on this. I didn't even share this with the city council yet.
It's very cool.
It is really, yeah, it is really good. So
this is
really good, yeah, draft. And then you can kind of see where all the activity is kind of going at the north end of the city, but even there, down kind of in the, I'm not going to say bowels. In the kind of like more dense area of the city, there's still some plats, like Columbia Crossing got final plat approval about 6 months ago. That was 20 lots, and that's on here, and I think that's all built out now. Iron Eagle, the former driving range, is about 30 lots. I think about 25 to 30 lots.
Wow.
That just got preliminary plat approval. And then Curry.
Small lot.
Another one that's been submitted. So maybe about 28 lots. So you got a lot of these like smaller ones here, but then you got some of the larger ones, 70 to 100 lots in the city. So there's a lot going on right now.
And there's nothing on the corner of Kelsey and Blueberry. I thought somebody was trying to build on that corner or something.
There's nothing on a corner. There's an apartment complex that's proposed for that location.
Okay.
It's called the Lake. But because it's not actually dividing land, this is just dividing land. And so this doesn't have any commercial development or anything like that. But what's really driving the workload, and to everyone's credit, they're just doing a great job keeping up, is these big plats. Because, and this touches on everybody, because a plat application comes in, Parks Department has to review all the landscape plans, Public Works has to review all the utilities and all the streets. Even when they get built and this home starts getting built, that means all these utility accounts that finance has to work on. You find utility accounts for every new home that gets occupied and things like that. So this is really driving a lot of workload across the entire city right now, these new plats of new development. And if you think about it, I mean, we're cities about 18,000 people. Maybe 2,500 of those are in the correctional institutions. So our cities, let's say 15,000 to 16,000 outside of the correctional institution. 1,000 new lots, 3 people for every one of those, that's 3,000 people. That's about 20% growth. It'll probably take 5 years, 6 years for these all get built out. But that's a pretty big jump in terms of development activity. And I was just looking at some of our numbers for single family home permits. Through July, I think we've issued about 75 single family home permits. And that total 75 is almost, for all of 2014 and all of 2015, I think the city issued about 80 single family home permits. So through the first 7 months of this year, we've issued almost as many single family home permits than we did for all of 2014 and all of 2015. That's just how busy things are right now. So I know this is something that the Planning Commission was interested in seeing. And we'll just try to, the goal, at some point I need to share this with the council and then get it online. But it's like I said, it's like, these are kind of bouncing around between categories because there's so much activity.
Yeah,
going on.
This is really cool though, I love it.
Thank you very much for
just a quick, I love it too. I'm just wondering, with the ones that are final plats, does that mean it would be possible to have the little line segments dividing it up already drawn up because they've... So maybe purple and yellow colors could be reversed so that yellow could be the final plat and you could see the little lines that you've added to it.
Oh, yeah, we'll give that a shot. See.
So use a white color for the final plat color so that you can see and put the little lines in it so people can see, well, what's it going to look like? You can see the shape of where the road is or how the road, you know, is it going to be a dead-end road? Is it going through? What is it connecting to?
I don't know what the base map is for this, but that's a great idea if we have that. Yeah. The other item, if I have a little more time, might like in parentheses put the number of lots proposed or
whatever. Yeah.
Right.
So like I said, it's a work in progress, so... good comments. Okay, so I just want to share this.
Thank you so much.
You can just see all the land that's in play at the north end of the city, and it's going to get consumed very quickly into smaller lots.
Great information.
And actually, we plan to work on the critical areas ordinance, is the one doing this map, so she'll be here at the next meeting, so maybe she'll have an updated one view.
Okay.
And then the last item I was going to talk about tomorrow night at the council meeting, just FYI. So back in April, the hearings board basically still ruled that the environmental work on the East Monroe Comprehensive Plan and the East Monroe Zoning Map Amendment were inadequate. And the Growth Management Hearings Board back in April invalidated the Comprehensive Plan Map Amendment Ordinance and the Zoning Map Amendment Ordinance. And the city was given 6 months for a compliance deadline. So we have a compliance deadline of September 28th. And we're going to city one item on the council agenda is an item where the council will be asked to make a request to the hearings board to extend that compliance deadline. And what's going on right now is that the applicant, the Heritage Baptist Church, has actually challenged the hearings board decision to Superior Court and the Court of Appeals. And so there's actually litigation going on with the applicant challenging the hearings board decision. The city's not really a part of that. We're just kind of sitting back right now and watching how that plays out. But that legal case will probably go on beyond that September 28th compliance deadline. So the proposal, what's the recommendation in the agenda bill tomorrow is just let's see if the hearings board is willing to extend our compliance deadline while that whole lawsuit plays out. Okay. There's probably a bunch of other stuff going on, I just don't remember. I mentioned Tina. I did mention Tina.
Thank you, John.
That's it. I might think of something by the time you get through.
Okay. And I'm sure the commissioners will have stuff too, so.
Oh, I didn't know something. Sorry. I remember they didn't remember something. So at the last meeting, I thought somebody was asking about some activity going on by Oak Street or Attorney Boys.
Well, a couple meetings ago, I might have asked about the private property aspect, but...
There was Woods Creek.
So I don't know if Tina got back.
She answered that for me.
All right, that's what I was
saying. What was it?
It's not part of that. It's not part of the turning place.
Right.
It's, I think that it has to do with erosion or something like that, right?
Yeah, erosion control. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. It's not a turn lane or anything like that. It's just erosion control.
Right.
Oh.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Jensen.
Nothing to say. Too many things to love, I can't ask you that. I've used the fact that you can get out of Safeway and turn, you can get out of Safeway onto it instead of going down that hill where everybody stacks up.
Yeah.
People haven't figured out yet. Go out the east side and you can get out much faster.
Commissioner Todd?
Thank you. I would like to see if there's any follow-up to the questions that I was asking at the last meeting about that new development up by the foothills and the retention pond thing. And
fallen trees.
I think you said you're going to go look at it.
Yeah, I did take a look at it. And so I actually took a look at it with Brad and the mayor. And so, what is there is built now.
Right, but what was the input on it? Is it fine? Is it something that should have been done? Would we have preferred to have regulated it a little more?
I think the outcome is it meets code, but it may not be exactly what we want to see in the future. And so there are...
I didn't think it would be code, but I was just wondering, it might be fine, but is it what we want? It's huge, huh?
Yeah. I think I mentioned at the last meeting that the city of Auburn, I was going to pull their code, is that got away from that. And actually, if I showed you another example, we did a fight, actually turned it into like an amenity. It was like a park.
Well, Lake Tai is that. That's what Lake Tai is.
That was a huge amenity, but I'll show you another one, a couple of other examples. So basically, we need to look at our code. And browsing with their code to make these more like a park-like setting or something like that than the hard walls.
Yeah. The fallen logs or anything, did it look like they were going to be?
I'm asking, one of our planners is asking, it's kind of like two separate fallen logs.
Yeah.
There's kind of
there's the one that's just created a huge swamp thing.
Yeah, so we're going to look at that one as part of the final plot application. But the other item is more just... fallen logs in the wetlands, it wasn't a concern to me, but
some
of the other ones were more just kind of like taking logs and just kind of like almost like trash more than functioning as a,
exactly.
as a fallen tree in a wetland like it should.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you for following up on that.
And where's that at exactly?
It's up in the... I can't remember which neighborhood it is.
This one here, sir. E. Is it a
D? I think it's
D?
Maybe E.
It's probably E. Oh, E? Okay.
And the retention pond is way up in the top corner of E, right?
E. Yeah, it's kind of the northwest corner.
But it's probably...
It's a tractor supply company.
It's probably this big.
Okay.
You can't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pull in here, and then you can get out and walk around, and that's what... That's okay. What I was doing.
Vermont Estates.
Be careful up there because there's kids up there all the time.
I'm good with kids.
Well, if you're driving, they're on bikes and skateboards.
Yeah, I was like, there we go. I have back some heat when I go in there.
Well, and I did have one more thing that is kind of topical, but I've been seeing a lot of stuff online from the Downtown Monroe Association asking questions and doing surveys and things about topics that we are already addressing and finding answers to. And I'm wondering if, I know that there's been a consultant and the city is actually involved in some of the downtown planning. We haven't really gotten any direction as far as our planning goes as a result of the consultations or input from the DMA. Nobody comes to our meetings or anything. Are we going to have to go back at some point and undo or review or revisit things because they're going to be approaching us with suggestions and things they want to see different or...
See, I'm not seeing what they're writing.
What's that?
I'm not seeing what they're writing.
I don't either.
Let me get Diane involved.
Okay.
Is it Diane?
Diane, but I did talk to one of the other ladies who, she told me that you attend their meetings and you know everything that they want and that kind of stuff. So I just know that we spent a lot of time and, you know, had a lot of discussion. And I don't want to have to go back and respond to things that we've already...
I know you hit spot on one of the main concerns, which is the service fitness type uses. Because what they are saying is that they tend to have classes.
Yeah, they think about the parking.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, all at one time.
417, and it's just causing a big parking problem for them,
okay.
for the downtown area. So they were concerned about that type of use, but now I'm kind of curious about what else they're saying.
Yeah, because one of them told me that they were going to be approaching us to eliminate retail and restaurant requirements. And I was like, we've been working on this for so long, and then, and not that we have to do what they ask, but I hate to have to go back and revisit. We have spent over a year.
I don't remember that at all.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
That would be strange.
Well, I also think it's strange that there's a Downtown Monroe Association that hasn't been part of any of this conversation either, so I just don't want to have to get into a place where we're having to reopen chapters that we've already spent a lot of time
inviting to our meetings.
I do, every week.
Yeah, I'll give Danny a call. We're working with them right now because they've gotten their nonprofit status, that they're going to make an application to Puget Sound Energy for help on some of this decorative streamlining that the city's interested in doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'll talk to Diane.
All right.
I think there might be a misunderstanding about the retail.
There might be, but that's what I was told.
That was really surprising.
No uncertain terms. And I was like, are you kidding me? I don't want to have to go.
Well, a lot of board members are there.
So whether we agree or not, I don't want to have to open all this back up and do more public hearings. And we've been on it for so long. If there's input, and if you are attending their meetings, I'd love to hear some of the input during this process.
I'm not.
Okay.
I've gone to some, but I don't go to every one of them.
Just checking.
Yeah.
Then the last thing is there is, I have gone to a couple of meetings with for the rural tourism Ward and I started a Facebook group for people that are interested, but I think focus for the Downtown Monroe Association is going to be the boat launch area and developing that in accordance with the river trails thing, and then there's a trail town designation you can get, but if anybody's interested in that kind of thing, I'm not going to be heavily involved in it, but I think it will give the DMA some focus because that's a walkable area, and I think they'll want to try to build that up a little bit down there, and with signage and wayfinding and stuff like that, it's a project for them to work on. But it's a really cool, it was an informational meeting that I went to at Sultan High School, and like five people from the community went to, and it's really interesting. So I post all the things from the county onto this little group if anyone's interested in reading on it. It affects the whole city, not just downtown, but anyway, it's kind of a cool river access and things like that.
Did you go to the meeting in Sultan?
I did. Anyway, that's all. Those are my three things.
I went to the one ever.
Oh, good.
And it was super cool. Talking about all the improvements that we could do along the river to make it a water trail and the things that you just mentioned. Something I would love to get involved with all the way up to my neck, and I just don't have the time. I was in there just going, oh, this is something
that
I
really, excited really, really about it, yeah.
Ran really well. The people that were there were super nice. Knew what they were talking about. Very cool.
Well, if we get that designation, we qualify for funding and grants and things like that too.
So just remember down the road you have the cabin area that's going to be added.
Yeah, that was definitely a topic.
Yeah, we brought it up as well.
Yeah.
Other than that, I have absolutely nothing.
Thank you, Commissioner Fisher. Commissioner Gerson?
No, nothing tonight.
Commissioner Bo?
Just an interesting question for David. Going through the Mayor's Weekly newsletter, I noticed that most all revenues are up significantly, except for planning fee revenues.
Except for which?
Planning fee revenues.
Planning
fee. Is that a lag? Does it lag development? Or is it significant?
No, planning fee revenues, I wouldn't even say it lags development. Those are like subdivision application fees, permit application fees, and it's just hit or miss. And my gut feeling is, wait for the next report, the report or the one after that.
Okay, that's what the office is telling me. Wait till next month, it'll be a much better month.
You're used to that. No, because we have for a final plat, is it a couple thousand or?
If it's a PRD and subdivision, it's about
final plats. So Bear Mountain just came in, a couple of these are going to come in, the yellow ones. Yeah, it depends on the size of the plat. Not even concerned.
Excellent. Thank you for your response.
I'm not concerned because I'm trying to remember what the actual budget number was. For example, on building permits, our budget for this year, our projected revenue for building permits was $300,000.
And you're at 418.
Yeah.
Year to date.
Right. And so, to some extent, as of last week, it was like 438. It went up 20,000 within just a portion of a month. So I'd almost have to go back and see what the planning revenue prediction was.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I'm not concerned. Well, I'm concerned because of how much activity there is relative to the work rate. But in terms of the revenue, I'll bet you a piece of bubble gum that it'll be higher next month.
And how above it is.
Anything else, Commissioner?
Thank you.
Commissioner Stanger? I only have one thing. I won't be able to make it to the next meeting on the 12th, I think it is.
I think it's, 12th or 13th, probably 12th.
I'll be in Alaska, so.
Oh, good for you.
But I won't be there either. I will be in Omaha. I just had a grandson born today, so I've been
to
see
him.
Congratulations. I was stressed all day.
That's all I had. So. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Moved by Commissioner Dorsey to adjourn. Seconded by Commissioner Jensen. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 7-0. Thank you, commissioners.